All right, so we've been going through Proverbs, I believe, since I've gotten here, really, so September, right? So in terms of topics from Proverbs, we have about seven left. I'm just giving you like a roadmap sort of here, an idea of what we're going to be doing. The last two topics are very big topics, so I might ex I no, I'm not might. I will expand on them because one of those topics is marriage, the other is parenting. However, I'm going to be addressing them from books outside of just Proverbs. For marriage, for example, I'll be dividing that up into three different sermons. But after that, in the near future, so probably around Easter time, we'll be going through Romans. Romans is a very deep book. It also describes some foundational topics. So I feel that by going through it, we will maybe gain some much needed doctrinal unity here. Also, it's going to force me to study hard and teach on things, on these big issues that Romans addresses, things like original sin, Israel's future, Calvinism, Arminianism, right? These are all issues that Romans confronts. So that's the basic plan for the near future. But today, we're still in Proverbs and we'll be talking about the issue of correction. So it's not a fun topic, right? If we're honest, most of us do not like being corrected. Naturally, we want to be right. It feels good to think that we're right. We also want others to see that we're right, right? Some people are so dedicated to being found right that they're willing to bring down others who would try to point out that they're wrong. Okay, but the point here is that all of us struggle with correction at times. But nevertheless, correction is also sometimes necessary, and I think we all know that. It is tough, but it is necessary. Okay, if we're going off track, then it's our duty to gently correct one another. It's also our duty to listen. Okay, and another thing to mention, correction should sometimes be gentle, but then at other times it needs to be firm. Okay, and sometimes it's not easy to know, which tone of voice should I use? How should I approach this? Okay, and just to give you two examples here, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 to 26, Paul tells Timothy that we should correct those in error with gentleness. Then in Titus 1, Paul tells Titus to sharply rebuke false teachers in his region. So I think, though, as a general rule, the intensity of the correction should correspond to the severity of the issue. Okay, someone who makes an unwise choice just once and done, right? That should be dealt differently than someone who is engaging in ongoing sins that are not being dealt with. Okay, if something is ongoing, then yeah, it's time to ramp up the tone. Okay, but if someone can be corrected with gentleness, then why not do it gently? That's my point. You know what? So what I'm trying to say here is that correction is very contextual in how we go about it. And giving correction and being corrected, they're not pleasant, obviously, but they are necessary. I remember talking about my own life here. I remember one of the best forms of correction I ever received in my life was a correction given to me when I was a senior in high school. Yeah, I honestly believe that God used this correction to lead me to Him. So, when I was in high school, I certainly went to church. I called myself a Christian. I read the Bible. But I knew in my mind and knowing what I had done, things that I did, I was not close to God like I needed to be. Okay. I had a lot of problems in my mind and stuff like that. But nevertheless, as I'm saying, I would tell other people that I was a Christian. So I remember there was a kid in band. His name was Jesse. He was a year younger than me. He played the trumpet like I did. So us trumpet players and Andy O'Dell probably know this. You stick together, right, with your instrument. But Jesse was very different than me. He was in 11th grade and he was very outspoken in his faith, very outspoken for an 11th grader. I never, for example, I never heard him say bad words. Remember, he had a very different attitude towards things. He wasn't a complainer. He was not disrespectful ever to anybody. He would wear these very loud shirts about God and Jesus, which is not a popular thing to do in high school. And one day, one of us, or not one of us, a group of us began talking about Christianity. And I said that day, "Oh, I'm a Christian." And Jesse heard me and he looked at me and he said, "What? You're a Christian? I don't think so." And he was implying that I certainly didn't act like one in how I behaved, how I spoke. And so I sort of got defensive. I said, "Yeah, Jesse, I'm a Christian." And he says, all right, what does Isaiah 53 talk about? Now, looking back, you know, he probably could have approached that differently. He could have asked me about faith or such things, but he was a teenager. He's trying his best. But he asked me about one of the most basic chapters in the Bible about the Messiah. And I said, Isaiah 53. Well, you know, Jesse, I don't know the whole Bible. I haven't memorized it. Right? That was my weak attempt at defending myself. And all he said was, you know, he called me out for my behavior that day. And I just remember that short little conversation deeply affecting me. And 1 year later, I did end up dedicating myself to the Lord at age 19. And I knew that up until then, maybe my parents didn't see this, they're here today, so it's kind of awkward to talk about that as they're here, but I knew that I had not been living the way that God would want me to, okay? And God used that simple conversation to correct me. Okay, correction can be a very good thing. It can be a wonderful thing if it's done the right way, and it gives us many benefits. But what happens sometimes is we sometimes mess up in our tone or our approach to correction. So we need to be careful in how we correct others. But so in going to Proverbs now, there's a lot of verses that touch on correction. I'm going to be talking about three very broad points, okay? And most of the verses here talk about how we receive correction, not so much in how we give it. Okay, so that's what we'll be talking about mainly, is how we receive correction. So the first broad point will be that the wise accept correction. The second point is that fools, they hate correction. And the third is that God himself corrects us. Right, so going on to the first point here. Generally speaking, Proverbs is very clear in that the wise person accepts correction, instruction, or advice. Now, I'm not going to be reading these particular verses, but in a general sense, if you want, I know some of you like taking notes, Proverbs 10:8, 12:1, 13:1, 13:10, they all talk about how, in general, the wise person accepts correction. Okay, so what we'll be looking at specifically here are the benefits in heeding correction. And I think that's why some people, that's why wise people listen to correction, because they're thinking of the good things that will come from listening. Okay, so we'll be looking at here in order 2, 1 to 5, 9, 8 to 9, 19, 16, and 19, 27. So let me open up the Bible here because I cannot read that. It's an ongoing issue with my font selection. My fingers can work. All right. 2, 1 to 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay, so starting with these verses here. Verses 1 to 4 are all sort of a plea to listen to Solomon's words, to look for understanding, to listen to his commands, to cry out for insight, to seek after wisdom. If you do these things, then you will walk the path of wisdom. Then you will fear and know God. So this is really the most important benefit of correction, advice, or instruction. Part of the process, this is pivotal, part of the process of looking for wisdom, insight, or understanding involves being corrected. Why? Because the only person who doesn't need to be corrected anymore is the one who's arrived at a perfect understanding of God. And I know for sure that nobody here has arrived as a perfect understanding of God. And as such, that means we all at times need correction. Would you agree with that? Yes. Okay. We all need more wisdom. We all need more insight. And therefore, we all at times need correction. You know, I would hope that most of us in here want to fear God more. We want to understand him better, as verse 5 says. So part of the process in knowing him better involves a correction in our current way of thinking or our behavior. You know, as an example, if I were to start to follow the trend of some churches, you know, I could easily fall into the trap of just preaching self-help messages, stray away from the Bible, and I could think that's what God wants. He wants me to bring in, you know, people by the truckload into West Oneonta so to do that, I should focus less on the Bible, because that's what people don't want. They don't want the Bible. And at that point, I need to be corrected, don't I? I should be corrected. If I'm straying from His Word, then I would hope that somebody would lovingly come along and point out my errors. Okay, the next verses here are 9, 8 to 9. There we go. All right. So it says, do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. So another benefit of correction is that the wise gain more knowledge as a result of it. And we already sort of talked about this using the previous verses, but these verses here, they highlight the contrast between the wise and the foolish. The wise person accepts correction and therefore grows because of it, whereas the foolish person ends up hating you. They don't like what you have to say to them. And again, for what end is the wise person growing? To grow, ultimately, in their knowledge and fear of the Lord. Okay, so 19:16 here. That one I can read. One who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. But one who's careless will die. One who is careless, can somebody read that for me? One who's careless in their conduct will die. Sorry. All right. Right. So this is most likely referring to keeping God's commands. But I think you could also extend it to sound words, godly advice in general, right? So by listening to instruction, you're doing what? You guard your life. You keep your life. You are ensuring a good future by presently obeying God's commands and listening to good advice. Okay, that sounds like a good thing to me. All right, and then 19:27. Can I see it? All right. Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. They will stray. If you stop listening to instruction, correction, advice, you will stray from words of knowledge. You will stray from what is good for you. So therefore, what can we say? The wise person listens to instruction so that they will not stray. I want to hover over this verse a little bit. I hope all of us realize how incredibly easy it is to stray from God's will. Okay? It is dangerously easy. And let me clarify here, I do not believe that a true born-again believer can lose their salvation. Okay, I don't believe that. However, being secure in one's salvation does not negate the fact that we are told to persevere and take care of what God has given us. I hope you see that. It's easy, very easy to fix our gaze, our eyes on other things. It's easy to put our effort and time into things that really don't deserve all that much attention. And I think we know what I'm going to say here. In terms of priorities, God is number one. Family's number two, people outside the family number three, and everything else, whether it be hobbies, interests, leisure activities, they're very distant number four. I think we know that, okay? But by listening to God's instructions and the wise advice of others, we prevent ourselves from messing up our priorities. Okay, but what has happened, speaking on a cultural level now, is because people in the U.S. by and large don't listen to God's instructions, or they might just not know it, we have strayed from knowledge, and that we've misaligned our priorities. Okay, for many, the everything else category, meaning hobbies, extracurriculars, that category has become number one. Okay, for many, you know, my hobbies, my kids' hobbies, my kids' extracurriculars, right? They should not be taking the place of God or family or even anybody else in general. If my hobbies, my leisure activities, my kids' extracurriculars, if they've taken away the time that I should be giving to God or other people, then it's time really that I cut back on those things. Okay, but spending regular time with God, staying in His Word can prevent these headaches. They can, listening to instruction can prevent us from going astray. Another thing I ought to mention is that we need to be selective in who or what we are listening to. Not all advice is good advice, is it? I think these are things that we know. I'm not saying anything new today, right? Not all advice is good advice. Not everybody who corrects you has your relationship with God in mind. A wise person, yes, they accept correction on a general level, but that correction or advice must align with the Word of God. It must. So don't just accept every form of advice or correction, especially if you know that it contradicts God's revealed will in His Word, in the Bible. If we were to accept every form of correction in this life, I think we would all be in a heap of trouble. Right? Be selective in who or what you listen to. And, you know, even some Christians also can give very bad advice. Okay, just because a person is a Christian doesn't mean you ought to listen to everything they say. Again, you need to be selective. I remember, this is going back now, before I met Pamela, I remember a slightly older Christian lady, she told me to follow my heart when I was interested in a girl, again, before knowing Pamela. And I'd prayed a lot about this girl, but this is going to sound strange maybe to some of you, but every time I prayed, I felt that something was off, and I don't know how to explain it other than that. She claimed to be a Christian. She went to church regularly, very involved. And I'm pretty sure I explained to this older lady I was talking to that I felt something was off. But yet, nevertheless, that was her advice. Just follow your heart. And now because my emotions got the best of me, I listened to that lady and I followed my heart. And let me tell you, I found out very quickly that that girl was bad news. Thankfully, I got away from her quickly. But when I say bad news, I know that I would have gone down a path of destruction if I'd kept pursuing her. Now, looking back, I firmly believe that what I was feeling in prayer was the Holy Spirit guiding me. Stay away. Okay. But following your heart, just as an example, can be the worst advice to give at times because our desires, they can stray very far from God's will at times. Okay, so as a practical pointer, if somebody asks you for advice as a believer, don't give out cultural advice. I know we say that, just follow your heart, right? But point the person to the Bible. Point the person to the Bible. And again, be selective in who or what you listen to. But West Oneana, you know, I hope that in general, we are people who accept correction, right? I hope when we hear correction that we're thinking of the future results of listening to that good advice. Right? And what are the benefits, again, of accepting instruction? It helps us grow in the fear of the Lord. It keeps us from going astray, gives us more knowledge, and it helps us guard our lives. Right? And these things will help us to avoid foolishness, which is what we'll be talking about next. Next. That's great. The next point is that fools, they despise correction. Right, or advice. The wise person accepts correction, whereas the fool rejects it. Okay, there's so many good verses to choose from on this subject, but we'll be looking at 5:11-14, 5:22-23, 9:78-10:17, and 29:1. And we'll go through those just like we did in the last point. Okay, let me read here 5:11-14. At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, you will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned a correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors, and I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. So the context here is the man who commits adultery. And that's the context of chapter 5 in Proverbs. However, in general, we can say that not listening to sound or godly advice will bring regret. It will bring regret. And it says there that not listening can lead to ruin, right? Why didn't I listen to my parents? Why didn't I listen to my husband? Why didn't I listen to my wife? So on. Like, listen to good advice, right? Don't let your emotions drive you in life. Listen to others. And then 5:22-23. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. So that says something very similar to 5:11-14. A fool dies for lack of discipline. They don't listen to anyone else. And because they don't listen, they go astray. Said a little bit ago that the wise listen so as to not go astray. The fool sees trouble ahead, and they just keep on going. And the 9:7-8 are quite sad verses, if you think about it. It says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. These verses describe what happens when you try advising a fool. Okay, you invite upon yourself insults or abuse. The sad fact is that many people do not want your advice. They don't. Okay, they might want to hear you agree with their ideas. They might want your sympathy, but a fool rejects godly advice. A fool wants to be surrounded by yes people. We all know what yes people are, right? Somebody want to tell me? Bill always with his great comments. Right? It's a person who always says yes. Right? Proverbs is telling us to be careful when trying to give advice to a fool. If you choose to correct a fool, just know what you're getting into. You'll probably get hurt. Okay, so I guess the question is, what do we do? You know, what do we do when we know someone who continually rejects correction or advice? And that is a tricky subject. My personal thinking on this, and I could be wrong, is that if you've gotten to the point where you're correcting or advising a person and they're hurting you because of it, then I'd say probably back off the correction. And that's just my opinion. But, you know, let the fool experience the negative consequences of their actions. That's a hard thing to say. But don't keep inviting abuse upon yourself because you're adamant about this other person needing to hear you. Okay, back off the advice. That's my opinion. And as a side note, and I think this is very important, one of the most frustrating or saddening parts of life is when you care about someone who simply will not listen. And I'm sure we all know people who are like that, just won't listen. You tell your daughter, you know, stay away from that guy, and she goes after him anyway. You tell your sibling, don't waste your money there on that thing, and they waste their money anyway. You tell your friend, don't get even with this person, they do it anyway. It's frustrating, isn't it, when you give advice, good advice, and especially godly advice that is truly good for them, and the other person does what they want anyway. But sadly, you know, we can't force people to do what we know is right, even though I wish we could, and I'm sure many of you wish also that you could. What we should not do, though, as Christians, is enable the poor behaviors of others. Right? We cannot force others to do good, but we can play a part in not prolonging the behavior. I hope that makes sense. When we enable others to continue in their sinful or foolish lifestyles, we are indirectly supporting them. As an example, okay, and I'm sure this is a common one in many, many families. If you have a family member that refuses to work, they just make up 100 different excuses as to why they should not work, don't enable them, right, by regularly supporting them financially and supporting their bad habits. Okay, as another example, if you know someone that wastes all their money on alcohol, right, they have no money left because they're spending it on alcohol. Don't enable them by giving them money when they ask you for a 20 because they're short. Okay, if someone doesn't listen to your godly advice time and time and time and time again, please don't enable them. Don't enable them. Okay, so going back to Proverbs, let's go on now to 10:17. Yep. All right. So whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. A fool who rejects advice leads others astray. Not only do they sometimes ruin their own lives, they take others along with them. I think there's a phrase that says evil keeps company. I don't think I made that up. But the person who rejects correction time and time again, they have a character problem. They have a character problem. Okay, so it should not be a surprise if they eventually surround themselves with like-minded people. Okay, people oftentimes they form friendships or groups based around common interests or common characteristics. This is what happens in school a lot, right? One kid named Johnny doesn't listen to his teacher, and he discovers there's another boy in another class named Tommy. He doesn't listen either. So what do? They get together and they're now a rebellious duo, right? They lead each other astray. Or a common thing seen in hospitals sometimes, just as another example, a young male gets hooked on drugs and then goes and entices a girl to join him in his addictions. Right? That's not an uncommon occurrence. But sadly, you know, people who refuse to listen, who refuse correction or advice, they do oftentimes bring down others with them. And then last is 29:1. Whoever remains stiff-necked, a hard head, after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. I mean, this is a sad verse, isn't it? Because again, it's tough because I think we all know people who are like this. So this is a sad verse. It's this. It describes here the sad fate of a person who refuses correction, and this is not a laughing matter, right? This is more than just the occasional hardhead or stubborn person. This is. It says that the person who despises advice will be destroyed. And I'm willing to guess that many times people who are destroyed for this reason cause their undoing by their own actions. Not necessarily because of what other people do to them. Right? Some people who refuse correction, they try to blame their pitiful state on others. They play the victim. But most of the time, they reap the consequences of what they themselves have done. They might get away for a time with their actions, but eventually it catches up to them. They're going to slip, and that fall will be devastating, as it says here in Proverbs. In addition, as I've been saying with all the bad characteristics that we've gone through in Proverbs, bad character is usually accompanied by a multitude of sins. Right? A person who consistently refuses correction will most also likely be prideful. They might lie at times. Maybe they steal at times, manipulate others. Okay, these other sinful actions as well can destroy this stubborn, this stiff-necked person. Right, so when Proverbs says that a person who doesn't listen is a fool, please understand that that label fool, it refers to someone who's characterized by multiple forms of sin and reckless behavior. Okay, and just as we're talking about the foolish person, you know, you might be thinking of someone else in your life, but let's not become arrogant in our thinking. That's something I would say. We all at times refuse to listen, don't we? Right? You know, we could be thinking, sitting here, oh, I'm not like that. Be careful. Be careful, right? And let me remind you that all of us were fools, according to the Bible, at one point. All of us were hardheads at one point. The person who rejects God is called a fool in the Bible. We were not born Christians, okay? So we were all fools at one point or another. That's why we should show compassion towards the fool. We shouldn't just think that we're better than them, okay? It's only by God's doing. It's only by His grace that we listened to His voice, that we heeded His message of salvation. And now ending this point with an example, right? Pamela and I, we know a couple where the wife was warned by many people not to marry a certain guy. And many people gave her the same advice, you know, don't do it. Don't marry him. You're going to regret it. And so what does she do? She marries him. Right? The wedding was great. It was wonderful. Beautiful wedding. The first few months were okay. But sure enough, the man began revealing his character and then began all the complaints by the newlywed, the new bride. And people would listen to her and think, I told you, right? Didn't we tell you this was going to happen? Right? Mike Winger, I don't know if any of you know him. He's a pastor. Also, he has a lot of YouTube content. He said that refusing correction is one of the most dangerous hobbies we can have. Refusing correction is one of the most dangerous hobbies we can have. And I would agree with that. Refusing advice, refusing correction, refusing to listen can break you and others. Right? So Westoniana, you know, how are we doing with advice, with correction, with instruction? How are we doing? How do we handle it? We should be discerning, as I said, in who or what we're listening to, but don't reject it wholesale. Don't reject all forms of correction. Going off on your own, doing your own thing, whatever you like, refusing to listen can be extremely dangerous. Right? If someone corrects you or advises you because they care for you, you ought to listen. I know that sometimes many people, they mess up their delivery, they mess up their approach to it, but don't overlook the message just because the delivery was off. Okay, if you want to challenge yourself, go ahead and ask people this week how you are in terms of hard-headedness. It might be quite revealing. All right. It's one thing to reject corrections that are mere opinion, but when you get into the realm of this is what God says, and you reject God's instructions, then you truly are in dangerous territory. And on the other side, on the other hand, what do you do if it's someone else that you know that doesn't listen? Again, it's contextual how you should approach the person, but don't tire yourself out correcting a fool. You know, we should be correcting, but don't heap abuse upon yourself in trying to wear yourself out and trying to correct a fool. Don't hit your head against a wall. That's what I'm trying to say. Right? Sometimes the best thing to do, unfortunately, and it's very sad, is to let a fool experience their foolishness. Sometimes, unfortunately, that's the only way they'll learn. Okay. Last point now. And I'll be brief here. The last point concerning correction is that God himself corrects his children. God himself corrects us at times. And the main proverb dealing with this is Proverbs 3, 11 to 12. Yeah, I'm definitely not going to be able to read that. It says here, and it's repeated in Hebrews, for example, but it says here in verses 11 to 12, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." Right, notice these verses, they say two main things. One, do not reject his rebuke. Do not despise the Lord's instruction. Don't follow your heart. Don't go with your gut if God's word clearly says something else. That's what it's saying. Two, the second thing it says, it gives us the reason why we ought not reject his correction, because God disciplines, he corrects his children, and it's because he loves us. As a parent disciplines their child, he acts in that same manner. It's because he loves us that he corrects us. And correction in our life as believers is coming from God. Sometimes it's coming directly from God, and that's why we should listen. When God corrects us, it's because he wants to guide us in how to please him. That's a good thing. I think you would all agree with that. That's a good thing if he wants to show us the right way. Right? But how do we receive his correction is the question. Or said another way, how does God mainly communicate to us that he is correcting us? And I think the main two ways, obviously through his word, which we've been talking about, but the other two ways is through other people and through circumstances or trials. Those are two other ways God shows us his correction. So I believe many times God uses people, he sends people our way to correct us. I gave in the beginning the example of that kid named Jesse, right? A kid in my high school. Jesse's correction was spot on for my life at that time, looking back. And I know ultimately that that correction was sent by God. I'm positive of that. That's why I remember it 16 years later. God can use the people in our lives to correct us. Moreover, if multiple godly people are giving you the same advice, I would say that that's even more reason to pay attention to what they're saying. Being stubborn or a hardhead is not a badge of honor. Sometimes we joke about it a lot, like, oh, he's such a hardhead. But it's really not a good thing. Proverbs describes the one who's consistently hardheaded is a fool. Okay? Listen to godly advice. Second, he can correct us or discipline us through circumstances and trials. This is seen here in 1 Corinthians 11, 29 to 32. I'm not going to read it, but in the context, some of the Corinthian believers, they are mishandling communion. They're abusing it. They weren't discerning themselves before participating, and so they brought judgment upon themselves. It says there in those verses that some of them got sick. Some even died because of their mishandling of communion. But verse 32 is very telling. It says, God disciplines us so that we will not be condemned with the world. God disciplines, he corrects us, he guides us so that we will not be condemned with the world. That is the purpose right there of correction or discipline. God wants to keep his children, believers, from falling into condemnation. That's why he sometimes brings harsh measures against us. So thank God for his correction. Amen? It's not meant to destroy us. It's meant to guide us along. Okay, when we get emotional, we can tend to think, you know, God's abandoning me. He's trying to ruin me. But correction is never for that reason. It's so that you won't fall into condemnation. It's meant to bring us more fully into his will. In fact, Hebrews 12:8, it says that if God doesn't discipline you, if he doesn't correct you, then you're not his child. That's a big deal. Correction is not pleasant, but God, please correct me if that's what it means to be your child. Okay, so to wrap up here, you know, no one likes being corrected. I get it. This is not a pleasant subject. We want to be right all the time. That's our tendency. I want to be right all the time, right? But that's not how life works. That's not how life works. We all need to be brought back at times to that straight and narrow path. He said that in general, the wise person accepts correction, and in general, the fool spurns correction, and lastly, God himself corrects children. You know, listen to godly advice. Please listen to godly advice, especially if it's coming directly from his word. If you've discerned maybe this morning that God might be disciplining you or correcting you for something, please understand that it's because he loves you. It's because he loves you, right? It's because he wants you to be on that right path. So what I'm going to do now,